This morning we're going to 2 Kings chapter 6, and I want to read 2 Kings chapter 6. Read you about a little boy I found this other day. It says, Larry may become my new favorite. A new teacher was trying to make use of her psychology courses. How many teachers in the house this morning? A lot of teachers here, yes. A lot of teachers there. She's trying to make use of her psychology courses. She started her class by saying, everyone who thinks they're stupid, stand up. After a few seconds, little Larry stood up. The teacher said, do you think you're stupid, Larry? No, ma'am, but I hate to see you standing there all by yourself. Pretty sharp little boy, wasn't he? I like this one. Larry's kindergarten teacher was on a field trip to their local police station where they saw pictures tacked to a bulletin board of the 10 most wanted criminals. One of the youngsters pointed to a picture and asked if it was really a photo of a wanted person. Yes, said the policeman. The detectives want that guy very badly. They want to capture him. Larry asked, why didn't you keep him when you took his picture? Larry's a pretty smart boy, wasn't he? 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. 2 Kings 6:24. Sometimes later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. And there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. As for the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, help me, my lord the king. The king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor, from the wine press? Then he asked her, what's the matter? And she answered, this woman said to me, give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son. So we cooked my son and ate him. And the next day I said to her, give me up your son so we may eat him. But she has hidden him. I want to just stop right there and I'll read the scripture as I go. I want to begin by saying that on the night, that the last night that Jesus lived, the last day of his earthly ministry in John 16, when he prayed his great high priestly prayer for us, he said, I pray for you, pray for his disciples and all the people that would ever believe on him through all ages. He said this, he said, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He didn't say in this world, because you believe and you trust me, you won't have problems, you won't have troubles, you won't have sorrows. He said, you will have those things, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I want to say there were some bad days in the life of Jesus. Probably the worst day that he ever lived probably was that day that they nailed him on a Roman cross. But there's some other bad days in the Bible. One of them we just read about here in 2 Kings chapter 6. It talks about a time that the Syrians had laid waste to Samaria. They were at war against them, Brother Charlie. And they said the military strategy was they were going to cut them off. They said, we're not going to come to them in battle, but our strategy is, Jeff, we're going to cut them off. Just starve them out. We'll cut off anybody going into the city, anybody coming out of the city. We'll cut their supply line. We'll starve them out. And the Bible says things got so bad that the Bible says they sold a donkey's head for 80 pieces of silver. And the Bible says in the King James, dove's dung. Matter of fact, I announced this Wednesday night at prayer meeting. I was going to speak on donkey's head and dove's dung. Because that's what they were eating. And I looked it up in the commentary. It said they probably ate that stuff. See, there's a place where she parks, her parking place, and down in Dothan at her office, the birds come in there about once every 2 weeks, and they make a royal mess out of her car. And I was thinking about that the other day, studying for this sermon. I said, can you imagine digging off enough of that, putting a cup full of that stuff? And the Bible says they were so hungry, they sold a cup full of it for 5 pieces of silver and a donkey's head for 80 pieces of silver. That's pretty hungry, isn't it? Any of y'all ever eaten pig's feet? Some people eat that today. You do? All right. Well, pretty good, I heard. But how many like chitlins? How many like liver? A lot of things I'm not going to eat. My mom says it's good, but a lot of things I'm not going to eat. But here's the point. Things got pretty bad and bad enough. And I tell you how bad it got, Steve. It even got worse than that. The Bible says, we read here in verses 26 through 28, a woman stopped the king and she wanted justice. She felt transgressed against because she made a deal with her neighbor. She said, if you will today, we can cook and eat your baby today, and we'll cook and eat my baby tomorrow. And she said, the lady reneged. My neighbor reneged on. We ate my baby yesterday, and she wouldn't give her baby. That's how hungry people were. Now, that begs a question. This applies to everybody in this house today. This preacher, first of all, I want to ask you a question. Be honest about it. How bad is your life? How bad is your life? Here they were eating a donkey's head. They gave 80 pieces of silver for a donkey's head and 5 pieces for a cup of dove's dung and eating the children, cannibalism. They turned to that. Those were bad times. I counsel people all the time, and I talk to people almost every week that have lost loved ones. And I tell you, we have 3 people in our church connected with our church today that are somewhere between heaven and earth right now. We're just waiting for the word. And I've never seen as much need, but I ask people. And then I talk to people that have lost marriages. And I talk to people that lost jobs. And I ask them now, really, how bad is your life? How bad is it? And maybe you got some things going on in your life. How bad really is your life? I mean, they're serious issues. A lot of us make bad choices and foolish mistakes. And then we say, how could a loving God allow this to happen in my life? We make bad choices. We do it, you know, bring it on ourselves. And I'm grateful for the Christian. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I, and repent of their sin, then will I hear from heaven. We'll forgive their sins. We'll heal the land. God has a way out for a Christian, for a believer. But I tell you what another big issue is, and that is when they've tried to serve the Lord all their life. I buried a wife that been married to almost 40 years who tried to honor the Lord with her life, and we didn't understand that. And some of you are going through things like that. You don't understand that maybe. I tried to do what... I know other people in trouble with their marriages and say, I didn't want this. I didn't ask for this. It's not my fault. You don't know what happened. And I know some people get so bad that they destroy themselves. And I want to say this about that. I believe a Christian, a saved person is a saved person, and I believe they go into heaven. For some people to take their own life, it is... causes untold pain for anybody involved. I believe saved people save people, but I want to say this. I think it'd be a sad thing for me to, you know, do something to myself because my life down here was so bad for me to do something to myself and wake up in heaven and God and Jesus say, Sonny, what are you doing up here? We didn't have you scheduled for another 20 years. I hope I got 20 more. I'm about 20 years or 25 or 30 away, maybe 35 away. Keep moving on up. But I don't want that. But I'm going to ask the question is, how bad is your life? How bad is your life? Is it bad enough to eat donkey heads and dove's dung and eat babies? And the Bible says here, it's a passage here. In 2 Kings 6, though, it asks that question. God answers that question through his prophet. I wish I had time to read the whole story, but what happens here is that they, in look at the verse in chapter 7, verse 1. Well, no, let me go back. Chapter 6 and verse 32. And Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a messenger ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "Don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off his head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. It's the sound of his master's footsteps behind him." And while he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him and said, "The king said, 'This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?'" This is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. They blamed it all on God. And sometimes we do that. You know, we say, "How could a loving God allow this trouble to come in my life?" But God's answer is point number two. Elisha said in verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1, Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a measure of flour will sell for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes," answered Elijah, "but you will not eat any of it." Here's what God's answer was. He said, "This famine," they said, "God did this." And Elijah, the man of God, said, "By this time tomorrow, these people who are eating donkey heads and babies," he said, "by this time tomorrow, in this city, flour will sell a bushel for a shekel and barley for two shekels. This time tomorrow, there'll be more food than you've ever seen." In other words, he said, in 24 hours, Dr. Joe, God could turn it around. 24 hours. Listen, he can turn around things in your life. I believe that. I believe God took a shepherd boy. His name was David. Made him a giant killer. He's a shepherd boy one day, but God made him into a giant killer. He took a boy named Joseph who woke up one day, John, in the prison, and that night they brought him out and he went to bed in the palace. God can do it. He can turn things around. I know that he can. I talk to soldiers, Jeff. I talk to many soldiers. You know what PTSD is? Post-traumatic stress syndrome. I talk to a lot of them and say, "You know, Chaplain, I can't do this. This has happened in my life. This is what I've been involved in. I can't overcome this." You know the old devil tell them that? I know, Ben, you've counseled people, say they just can't get over the hump. They can't, they can't forgive themselves. And every time they try to forget their past, the old devil open that filing cabinet of their mind and say, "You can't do that. You can't be that. You did this. You did that." The old devil will tell them that. But I got an answer for that. You know what the answer is? The answer is, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. I don't care what the issue or the problem is. You can put the blood of Christ on it. Amen? Amen. Blood of Christ. It is sufficient. It's only I stand, Mike, in that sufficiency today. I don't have any sufficiency except the blood of Jesus. That's what I... But God had an answer. God said, God's man said, the man of God said, by this time tomorrow, in 24 hours, God can turn it around. Then the last thing. Here's my third point, the lesson of the lepers. I like this. Verse 3. The Bible says, "Now there were four men with lepers, leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, 'Why stay we here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Armenians and surrender. And if they spare us, we'll live. And if they kill us, we'll die.'" Here's my point. Great lesson of lepers. Not only, Tommy, was they starving to death with the rest of them, but on top of that, they had leprosy. I've seen leprosy in the Holy Lands. I've seen it with Dr. Roger, with some of the fingers gone and nose gone and a lot of their body gone. And these men, on top of being starving to death, they were sick men. And the four of them said this, Sarah, they said, "We're foolish. Why do we sit here and die? Let's move forward. Let's move on out. Let's surrender. We'll go over to the enemy's camp and maybe they'll feed us. And if they don't feed us, They'll do what? They'll kill us. And if we die, we'll die. But if we stay here, we're going to die anyway. The Bible tells a story how they went over that. I'll get to that in a minute. But I'll make this point. It's a good point. It's another good 3-point sermon. They said this, Chris. They said, we can't stay here. We can't go back. We can't go here. Can't stay here. We got to go forward. Or we're going to die. We got to go forward to find freedom. A lot of people need to, that's a message probably to everybody in this house today. You can't go back. I don't care what the situation was, skip in your life. You can't go back, can you? Can't go back. Not one day. Not one soul here. You can't go back. A lot of things I love to go back on. I'm a master of mistakes. Got a PhD in that. Got a PhD. If you can make a mistake, I probably have made it. But you can't go back. That's number one. You can't go back. Not a soul. And I tell you this, it's never going to be like it was. Whatever your situation was last week or last year, it's never going to be like it was. You cannot go back. Number two, you cannot stay here. They said if we stay here, we're going to die for sure. We're going to starve to death. So maybe this morning, you can't stay where you... I'm going to tell you this. You can't stay where you're at spiritually. I don't believe this church. We cannot stay where we are spiritually. We'll either move forward. We must move forward. And somebody, and I've got... That's my job, Mike, to figure out how to get us there. How to get us over. How to move us forward. Will you help me move forward? We cannot stay here. And the church never stays where it is. Never sits still. We're either moving forward or we just, I think, going backwards. But really, we can't go back, can we? Can't go back. We can't stay here. We must move forward. These four leprous men said it. I'm not going to read the story, but you can go home and read it. Tell you what they did. John, Herbie. Those four leprous men, they went over there to the camp of the Syrians. Guess what they found when they got there? They were going to surrender. Said, maybe they'll feed us. When they got there, guess what, Mike?
The whole army was gone.
Because the Lord had scared them all. And the Bible said the donkeys were all tied up and the campfires were blazing. They probably had Robin and probably cooking supper or something. And the Bible says they walked around. Wasn't anybody there to surrender to. And so they walked around and helped themselves. Wouldn't you like to
go to the city and just help yourself?
I told them, you see these things, Jim, if I was ever the only one left in Enterprise, everybody else checked out, left, I would go down to Mitchell's Lincoln. You know what I'd do, don't you? I'm Jim, guess what I'd do? I'd get in one of that new Lincoln I've been looking at and drive it right through the showroom floor. I'd write it off right through the glass probably. And if I was the only one left. And these guys are like that. They walked around and got it with nobody there. They just helped themselves. Ate all they wanted. And then they filled their pockets full of gold and silver. But one of them came to his senses and he said, what we're doing is not right. We got a whole city over there that's starving to death. We better go tell them. What we're doing is not right this day. God's blessed us. We got to go tell others. We got to share it. And see, that's the nature of the Christian message, isn't it, John? This is so good. God blessed us today. We got to share the blessing. And I tell you something. You better do a checkup from the neck up. If you're not in the business of sharing, do you really have something you want to share? If God does something in your life, it's just something instinctive, but we want to share it. We want to share it. And those guys go back. The Bible says that they went back to the city mad and they sent out a recon team. Said, let's go check it out then, what these lepers told us. And they checked it out. And the Bible said the whole city came over there. All of them came out to eat and to rejoice. And the Bible says this messenger, the king, who at the close of chapter 6, he said, that can't happen. This can't happen. Even if God opens the windows of heaven, the floodgates of heaven wouldn't be enough food And what did Elijah tell him? He said, you'll see it. Your own eyes will see it, but you won't taste of it. Guess what happened to that message to the king? King sent him out to be a traffic monitor or something. And the Bible says he got trampled to death. He got trampled to death in the stampede. He saw it, but he didn't taste of it. The last chapter of the Bible says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may taste this, may know this wonderful forgiveness that Sonny Moore knows, that I hope you know. Whosoever will may come. We need to share it. I want to tell you this morning, I don't speak out of, this is not what I heard somebody else say. I can speak out of personal experience this morning. I've had some low moments in my life. I buried a wife of almost 40 years that I loved devotedly, the mother of my children. I was passed over for promotion like many of you have been. And a lot of people say, well, hey, you made colonel. You was a colonel. Well, I don't care. The day comes, and I didn't get that star. And they gave somebody else. I said, well, I'm going home. That don't take any sting out of it, does it? I don't care what rank you make. If they say you're not good enough to make that next rank, I guarantee you that's a pretty big letdown. Pretty big letdown. And I walked around Atlanta, Jeff, about 2 weeks. Man, my gut's hanging out. Some of you have been down that road. I got a call one day and they said, Chap Moore, you got cancer. I've been with several of our people in the last few days. That's a tough thing, isn't it, James Barnes? Is that a tough day? It's a tough day in my life when they said, you got cancer. And old Bud Hickman down there today, it's a tough day when they say, you got cancer. That's hard. I've had failed relationships, personal failures. I've been to a combat zone 4 times. But I tell you what God's told me. I've heard Him say it again and again, Ben. Here's God's message. And here's God's message to you today. You can't go back. You can't stay where you are. You got to go forward. Amen. And when you get there, you got to share it with others. 3 years ago, I came here as a pastor. I tell you, and I pray about this. I said, Lord, if I'm not the man, you move me out of the way, God. When you get ready, and I joke with Matt about this a lot, but he knows I really ain't joking. I said, I'm looking for the back gate. And when God gets through with me, I tell you, I came 3 years ago and I never looked back and I've shared the blessing with everybody who wanted the blessing. I've shared the blessing. And that's what I intend to do as long as I stay in this pulpit. Will you share the blessing with me? We can't go back. See, here's the deal. When trouble comes, you got 2 choices. You can cry out to the Lord, or you can cry out at Him. And you can say, this is of the Lord. Or you can cry out to Him and pray that He delivers and keep on crying until deliverance comes. God will deliver you. You just move forward. Hey, if those guys that have sat where they were, those 4 lepers that have stayed in the camp, Alfred, they'd have died. They'd all starved to death. The city would have starved before me, and 4 lepers, sick men, said, we're going to go far. We're going to move out and save the city. And so you got a choice. You can even kick, you can get bitter and mad and cry out at God, or you can cry to God. But I say, here's the message. Remember this. You can't go back. You can't stay here. Got to move forward.